You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Welcome back, everyone, to Kingdom Recovery. Hope you had a wonderful week, blessed week. And I'm here with
James Rich.
Hi, James.
Hello.
And I'm Luann Linekin, and you're listening to WCNO, and we're happy to have you listening. And I want to share, a couple of announcements. So next week, Pastor Tom is coming to do At the King's Table, our monthly segment where it's Kingdom Talk. So he'll be talking with us about what the Kingdom of Heaven is like here on earth. Hallelujah. So this morning we were doing, well, before I get into this morning, we have been talking about the 12-step programs and how they relate to Christ, the Word of God, you know, and we go hand in hand. So the Word of God and how 12-step programs are, how they really were birthed through God's Word. And we go through the steps here on Kingdom Recovery from 1 to 12, and we are at step 8, but we haven't started step 8 because there's been other things coming in that have caused us to go in other directions, as far as we've talking about forgiveness last week, because it's so important that we prepare for the next thing that God has for us, right? So this morning, now I'll talk about this morning, why we're not going to be doing step 8 today again. So this morning, we have a faithful listener. His name is Fred, and I hope Fred doesn't mind that I said his name, but he is really wonderful, and he reaches out, and we pray, and, you know, he's going through his own stuff, and he sent me something on YouTube that I started watching. Now, Fred doesn't know what I've been going through these past couple of months, but it really touched on everything that I've been going through, and not only what I've been going through, but how God has brought me through it to the other side of everything. And, you know, I'd like to say it was instinctual, but it's really Holy Spirit led. I just didn't know it until I started watching this thing and listening. And then I was taking notes, and then the Holy Spirit started ministering to me about how I can talk about this to WCNO listeners, you know, on Kingdom Recovery and Kingdom Recovery Group. So I want to say that the moment it started, it did say 3 daily habitual or habits we should do. And I almost shut down because I'm like, habits, you know, I get right into that flesh, like, oh, this is not. But God created us then God straightened me out. So this is why I'm saying this. So God says, well, don't you wash your face on a daily basis? Don't you brush your teeth on a daily basis? I said, yes. He goes, well, that's habitual. You have to do that as a habit. I would like you to listen to this and receive what I have to offer. So I shut it down and I started listening. And it's 3 daily practices or habits, because I looked up the word habit because that's the first thing I do. And it says a settled or regular tendency or practice. Now that soothed my flesh. I was like, okay, I can chew on that, right? Especially one that is hard to give up. So it should be hard to give up worshiping God, not wanting to be in his presence. I mean, this is about wanting to be in God's presence all the time. A long, loose garment worn by a member of a religious order or congregation, the body of Christ, right? A dress, clothes, attire. He talks about attire. He says, put on Christ. He says, put on the armor. He's dressed us in robes and clothes. So this habitual or habit practice is something that I think many people will benefit from while they're listening to this teaching, how it unraveled for me. And there's scriptures, and I'm going to ask James to read some scriptures as we go along also. So one of the things that was talking about, and it also says, as a practice or daily practice or habit, a person's bodily condition or constitution, and I wrote armor of God, constitution, the word of God. So this is our bodily condition, how our body, the well-being of our body, the condition of our body. If we practice these things, and I do this in the morning, and it was actually explained what I was doing, which was really incredible because it unraveled right in front of my eyes. So our body condition, our mental condition, our spiritual condition, our everything, every condition of our life, our financial condition, our work condition, our family condition, is all going to be based on this, based on coming to God first thing in the morning, first thing, you know, or during the day, even day and night, he says. So it says the enemy will flee if we practice these, three steps or principles. And it's not to be religious. It's not to be any of that. We are religious because God created us to be religious with him. But I'm talking about no idolatry, witchcraft. I'm not talking about that at all. So it's about submittance. And in James 4:7, do you want to read that one, James? Or you want me to? Because I want to talk about the enemy fleeing.
Yep.
Got it.
And I was turning to it.
Amen. James 4:7.
Says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee.
Amen. And you know, when we submit, it also takes a lot of endurance. And God has been teaching me a lot about that too, because there's things that have unraveled in my life that I had to really endure and show up and keep pressing in and holding on to the word of God during this time, because it was happening to someone, not myself. So there's no control. You know, I can only control what I can do. So I had to really practice endurance. And endurance in Romans 5:4-6 says, let me read that to you. 5:4-6 says, and perseverance, which is endurance, character, and character. Oh, so let me start with 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, endurance. And then produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So these are different things that help us grow spiritually too. Doing these practices help us. You know, God created us. Sometimes Pastor Tom uses a washer machine as an example, you know, like a Maytag, and comes with directions, or even the iPhone. Nobody ever reads it. And then we're only using a little percent of what its functions are. And the same thing with the word of God. Nobody really reads it. And it's all for our functioning. It's to teach us how to function in this flesh, in this world, so that we can experience heaven with him, in him, through him, here on earth. And we only read parts, or sometimes we read none of it, or sometimes we read it with our minds and not with our heart for ourselves. You know, we're reading it to teach or to show somebody else, or, you know what I mean, to get the information, but not live the information.
Yeah, I always say it's like an owner's manual. And, you know, if I gave you a new Bugatti or something, you're complaining, you're driving, I'm sweating, and this thing's so hot, and the windows won't go down. Like, if you just read the owner's manual, it has all these things.
Amen.
That you have no idea what it has.
That's right.
And that's where the word of God is. If we had our aunt die that was worth $100 million and we knew we were in the will, we'd want to go see what was ours.
That's right.
We got a whole New Testament
right
from the Lord here.
This is God's directions.
Our inheritance.
Amen.
As his children. If we just read it, we can see what we've been given. We've been given healing.
That's right.
We've been given all these things we don't know, so we're not operating in them.
That's right. So if we do endurance.
I just want to say on this, the submitting to God part is, because in a Bible study the other night that he brought that scripture up, I said, well, the part most people miss is they're rebuking the devil, they're resisting the devil, but they're not submitting to God.
Amen.
And so their authority isn't working.
Amen. That's right. And these three habits or practices is the beginning of.
I like that.
Submission to God. Exactly. So if we don't understand it, we're giving you practical ways to apply it in your life for those who are listening. Because I didn't understand all this either. And I still didn't even know what I was doing until I watched that thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what the Bible tells me to do. Right? So, and when we do them, it's to overcome spiritual forces that try to hold you captive. Things like fear, anxiety, bitterness, doubt, resentment. All those things, jealousy, all the things that we talked about in
lust
in the past couple of weeks, you know, because we were talking about 6 and 7, and that's about letting go and letting God. It's about letting go of our old ways and letting God in so that we can apply the new way, the new man identity into the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. So,
and she says new man identity because we've been.
Born
they again. Haven't heard a lot of this, probably.
Yeah.
We're made a new creation.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Our spirit man is born anew. See, Adam didn't die for hundreds of years, but it said, the day you eat of the tree, you shall die. Well, he died spiritually and became disconnected from God. So when we become born again, we're made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, but the enemy will keep bringing the old things up.
And right, to make you think you're dead. Or drag it around. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus, that he needed to be born again of spirit. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that's tormenting thoughts, right? The same thing, depression, anxiety, fear, resentment, guilt. Those are the things that we're wrestling with. It's not against flesh. So if another person you think or place, the government or, you know, a teacher, the school system or your workplace, place or thing, something that you got that's not operating the way you would like it, or, you know, anything, you get upset, you get mad, you get resentful, all those things at the company. We have a good, you know, think about what our world, people are acting out against offense these days, you know, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities, right? And
powers.
And right.
Rulers of the darkness of this world.
Yes. Amen. So,
and those are just the different rankings of spirits, if you don't know.
Yes, that's right.
And people that don't know, not you. I know you know.
Yeah, but so that might be something we do. We help. We'll teach on that on one program. So spiritual practices, and that's what we're talking about. These daily practices are spiritual practices, like a soldier training, running a race. We want to. Build our endurance. When we a soldier, you want to have the right armor or the right equipment for the time when it comes, right? And that's what this is, spiritual practices. We're growing up spiritually, preparing. All right, the enemy recognizes these habits and practices. They are powerful enough to dismantle spiritual strongholds, and the enemy is forced to retreat. It says every knee shall bow. So the authority of Christ shines through. When we use the name of Jesus, and that's the first one, invoking the name of Jesus is the first thing we should be doing. I always wake up and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you did for me. Thank you, you know. And I recognize that Jesus is my Lord and my King, my Savior. And in James 2:19, let me get that. I didn't write down the scriptures. I just, from my head, wrote them down. So you have to bear with me today, James.
Well, while you're doing that, I just want to say, I feel I've been getting a word of knowledge. Someone that's having heart problems. So,
amen.
Father, I ask you to heal these heart problems. I command all fear to leave whoever this is in the name of Jesus.
Amen. So
all pain, you leave his chest in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing him. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God. You do dwell. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So the demons believe because they know, you know, and they tremble. Fear of God. We should also be trembling in the fear of God, thinking for one moment that our life without him, what it would be like. I mean, I think sometimes about that. I don't know how I was functioning. I mean, I was really holding on because life is a lot easier, even in the most difficult days today. It's a lot easier than my best day out there without him.
Well, it's strange because when you grow in the Lord, you get a little deliverance slowly. So mm-hmm. you don't really realize how much change you had. And there was like two times where the Lord just, I don't know how to describe it because I know he didn't leave me, but like he just left everything. Like I felt the way I used to feel. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember feeling like this. This is horrible. Mm-hmm. What did I do, Lord? You know, and I don't remember what the deal was, but his presence, we don't realize how much is with us because we're so used to it. And
yeah,
what we used to feel like, that would be horrible to be over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's usually like if guilt tries to come on us or, I mean, I think I felt that way a few months ago where it was like such, it was in like my heart, stomach kind of area. And it was like, it was so uncomfortable. Mm. And it was definitely like a grieving or a worry maybe. And I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, and that may have been spiritual attack.
Yeah. I went right into like, you know, okay, making phone calls, praying. So invoking the name of Jesus first. We do that in the morning. We just simply recognize his presence in our life. And we give him all the praise and the glory. We just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being in my life. And we speak his name throughout the day. And in Philippians 2:9-11 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord and my Savior. Guide me today. Holy Spirit, direct my path. And then we speak his name. We welcome his presence first thing in the morning, right? And the demons are legalists, right, James?
Yes, totally.
So they know when we're not doing it. They're like, ha-ha, you know?
Well, they know they know the sin in your life. And there's a difference between... like falling into something and repenting and trying to stay out of something that even a stronghold you could have. There's a difference between that and just habitually sinning and thinking it's okay. Oh, I just have this vice. Yeah, I look at porn or I sleep with other women or whatever. Like, you're not going to have any authority over them when you do that stuff.
Right.
Because they have a legal right to you.
Amen. So we want to, cast that out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the second thing is repentance, morning repentance, you know, cleaning our hearts and our thoughts against sin, bitterness, doubt, morning repentance. Okay, so some of the things that I had to practice in the morning, which I still do today, is what am I looking at first? That was the way I practiced repentance. I wouldn't pick up my phone. I wouldn't put on the TV. You know, the things that I did before I got out of bed, I would read some daily meditations, you know, scripture, journal. I would journal. Before I even got out of bed, I would do that, you know, and I still practice that, see? Mm. So that's something that I do on a daily basis, and I encourage people to do that. I encourage people that I disciple, people in the program of Kingdom Recovery that our members of Kingdom Recovery, we talk about that. I think almost all the members, you know, everyone who attends Kingdom Recovery, they all journal and they all write. And God, Holy Spirit's speaking to us and we're writing this stuff down and it gets it out of our head and jumbled around or even to forget it, even our dreams. Try to write them right away.
Yes.
Because it's so quick to forget a dream.
Yes.
Right? So We want to clean our heart of any sin or bitterness or doubt. The enemy strives when there is sin, resentment, or unresolved guilt or shame. We need to remove the cracks of our heart in our hearts, because the enemy looks for them. Anything that's cracked, first of all, God is the one that shines through. If he's not shining through those cracks, the enemy is going to try to dull inside. He's going to try to get in there.
Right? Yeah, and I just want to say on the dreams that if you're a seer, which a lot of people are, let's just say God speaks to you through dreams. Let me put it that way. Respecting it and in writing it down does count for a lot, because sometimes you'll wonder why he's not giving them to you. And then if you'll just put a something by your bed where you can write it down and tell him you'll write it down, all of a sudden they'll start giving to you again.
Amen.
I know that's in my
And the more life. You write, the more it feels like you're always remembering them. So in Luke 5:32, it says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So God's telling us that he's calling us to repent. Not, you know, he's not looking for the ones that think that they don't sin, that everything's great. I mean, even on my best day, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm a sinner in my eye movement sometimes. I'm impatient sometimes. I mean, I'm holy and righteous, but in my best day, I can act out very quickly, is what I mean. So, and then in Matthew 3:2, it says, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why repentance, and it's not only in the morning. This is throughout the day. We have a 10th step that we do in the program, and it's, you know, do a daily inventory. You know, it's like a fourth step, but only quicker. If it happens right away, you take care of it right away. You don't let it linger, because it wants to grow. It's like a weed. If you let the weed stay there and you don't pull it from the root, it's going to start choking out the good stuff. So as things happen in the day, you can immediately go in this, invoke the name of Jesus, my King, my Lord, my Savior, and then repent for whatever it is, or say, Lord, check my heart when you have that off feeling. If you're walking with the Lord, you know when you're out of step.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you're really cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you'll know right away.
For sure. And then
I repent right away all the time.
Yeah. Let me just see.
A lot of times I'm like, Lord, I don't believe that was my thought. But if it was, forgive me. But I definitely don't think that was mine.
Amen.
Because half your thoughts aren't your own if you don't know that.
Amen. And
And he'll give you thoughts all the time, the enemy.
And Jeremiah 15, let me get there. Jeremiah 15:19 says, I'm just confirming about the repentance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Amen. And then Galatians 5:19. Let me get that. Galatians 5:19. Unless you get there before me. Galatians 5:19.
General Electric Power Company. If you're new reading the Bible, it's Galatians, General Electric, Ephesians, Power, Philippians, Company.
Okay. Thanks. So it says in 5:19-21, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, and you know, I say this in the morning, and you know, my first thought, just saying.
What translation that says practice? That's good practice. Because it says do in the King James, which if
this
you look it up means.
The New King James.
Okay, good. Because it means habitually do as a way of life.
Amen.
If
Amen.
You look it up.
Right, and that's what we're talking about, to habitually habit, make a habit, right. a practice of. So my first thought, to be honest with you, today, it wouldn't have been, was, well, I wake up and I don't really think I do anything that I need to. But that's how, you see, right there. That's how, like, okay, that's like Paul says, then you're a liar if you think that you never did. Because this is the thing. In the morning, just check your heart. You know, was there any offense from yesterday that I had or anything? You know I was very, very, I wasn't feeling well last night. So I had absolutely no patience.
Yeah. God okay. healed her.
All right. God healed me.
Amen.
But I was doing these things. Let me just share. And the reason why this is incredible, because even before that, I was doing these things, but I had an incident before that that I was doing, and I have certain scriptures that I was reading for weeks, over a month, and I passed it on to my son because he was the one going through it. And it was really about endurance and strength and holding on and knowing that he is with us no matter where, what's going on. It was Joshua 1:9. It was John 4:24. It was Deuteronomy 31:6-8. And it was Job 38:10-11. And that's where, as a mom, I didn't give him that scripture because that was the mommy scripture. Yeah. You made these lines and nobody's going to pass in them. And that was given to me by my dear friend Linda, because that was the scripture that came into her heart when she spoke to me about, you know, because, you know, we have a body for a reason. We need to use our body so that we function properly when we're going through stuff, you know. Maybe my hand needs the left hand, I'm the right hand to help me with something.
She means body of people.
Yeah, body of people. That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Need each other.
I know. I think everybody knows what is in my mind. You're not in my mind.
Sometimes you're making it clear to me with your hands.
Yeah,
signals.
Yeah. And if you knew me, you would know my hands, they talk also. So, yeah, I'm very clear with my hands. But so I was doing those scriptures for the period of time up until now, what we needed. And I'm still, you know, doing them. But there's another hurdle. So there needs to be another declaration, I'll say, of practice for the new hurdle. But that's what I do. And then yesterday, because it started the day before, I chose some scriptures. And you know what? I didn't even know I was choosing these scriptures. This morning I said, let me look up those things that I was saying out loud. And it was for Psalms 32. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. So I actually was saying that you already did this. I wasn't saying it exactly the way the Bible, but I was declaring them. And then Matthew 8:14-17 said, Jesus cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And I was saying that you healed me. You healed all, every one of us, right? And then Isaiah 53:5. And I need to read that one because it's by his stripes I'm healed. And that's one that I always go to because I've already battled the infirmity. So, you know, I have stuff inside of me that just starts to come out. But, you know, we can't always just rely on that. We have to go to his word and say it the way it is. So in Isaiah 53, let me get there. Thank you, everyone, for having endurance and having patience with me today, for not having my scriptures already printed out. This is Roar, El Natural. Okay. So 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So I already am, and everyone listening, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you've been born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're already healed. And if I had to say that over and over again until it was engraved into my heart and then my mind got renewed and I was transformed and the healing started to manifest in the natural. praise the Lord.
Yeah, and she's saying, because if you're sick, what she's saying is it's already paid for and done on his end, and it's us appropriating faith to see the manifestation, not be led by senses, but right. believing his word.
In your heart.
And most scriptures that talk about healing say right after him, and if you have aught against your brother, forgive that you may be forgiven. Because mm-hmm. unforgiveness ties into a lot of sickness.
Amen.
And blocks to healing.
Amen. And sometimes, you know, and just for those, because we're not going to say like, oh my God. Well, I do think everything is start spiritual because the Bible tells us that. But, you know, we do live in flesh. And God's like, as long as you have this body on you, you're going to be, there's going to be trials and tribulations. And you're going to have things that you know, that are around you that can infect you. So you need to practice these principles in all your affairs, you know. So yeah. Sometimes you get a cold.
Well, there's germs in the air.
Amen.
Cold germs are mm-hmm. different, even though I believe you can live above any of it. But
yeah,
when Amen. You have diseases, it's a whole different thing going on.
Right.
Because it's say, like if your white corpuscles attacking your joints, you got arthritis. They attack your pancreas. You got diabetes. They attack your colon. You got Crohn's. So they attack your mind, you get Alzheimer's. But your immune system, your white corpuscles are attacking yourself because there's a spirit of infirmity and you're attacking yourself.
Right.
And you don't realize half you're not liking yourself not is liking that yourself. Spirit Amen. Keeping you bound, right. but you're agreeing with it.
That's right.
I mean, there's a guy with arthritis Tuesday night and his elbow is really bad clicking. And there's some people healing this meeting the last Tuesday. So they said if anybody wanted prayer, so about 10 people came in and prayed. His elbow, it was in other parts of his body, but I said, squat down. He says, well, I can squat. And the other guy says, can you do a push-up? He says, no way. He said, do some push-ups. And he was doing push-ups for a while. He's like, holy cow. And then he said, well, pray for my eyes and pray for his eyes. And they brought this Bible with this print. I'm like, nobody can read that small a print. It was like so tiny. And he started reading and he's like, my eyes are healed. And then the next day he benched 200 some pounds 12 times. He hadn't been able to bench in years, I guess. And but anyway, then somebody else wanted prayer. And I might have prayed for one other one. And then the lady had floaters in her eyes. Mm. And I had him pray and she was healed and her hips were healed. She had arthritis in her hips. She's lifting her legs up. And then there's like seven or eight people healed.
Praise God.
But I got them. So then I got another one to pray because they had never prayed over anyone. They didn't even ever seen healing before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are so excited seeing that God is real and among us and that they can do it. See?
That's right.
I wanted them to see they have the same Holy Spirit I have.
Amen. Amen. Yes. So what he does for you, he'll do for me. What he has done for me, he'll do for you. Amen. So true repentance is really crying out. Sometimes I find myself, I mean, I'm not even doing anything, but I get such like touched for what he's done that it feels like there's a repentance going on. And it's just, it's a beautiful moment when you just let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. You don't even have to say anything. And all of a sudden, you just start to experience him, you know? I won't say feel him, but experience him. Hallelujah. So spiritual cleansing, morning repentance. We can say simple things like, Lord, show me if there is any ought or anything in my heart that is separating me or displeasing to you, separating me from you, your presence. Search my heart, O Lord. And then confess my sin. I'll just forgive me, Father, for, you know, be agitated or whatever it was. And choose to turn to the Lord in Jesus' name. And I choose you, Lord. I choose your word. It is written, right? So we wash our soul each morning, and that's our mind, mood, will, emotions. And, you know, my theory, it's only mine. I don't know. Is that the reproduction is the born-again experience, the seed, and then as the spirit, where the spirit is, Jesus Christ, his seed, as the spirit ministers to the heart, the soul, right? It's the true unseen hearing, feeling, faith. you know, I got to believe in spite of what I see and what I hear and what I touch and, you know, what I smell, all that. And that will minister to my brain, and that's my flesh. And that motivates me to act upon. So that's how I see it. Other people see it other ways. It makes sense to me. And I believe, you know, that's how the tree grows from the bottom up.
Well, the words say, okay.
Yeah, James.
It's sozo, it saved, healed, delivered, set free. And I think a couple other words.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a guy reading that, and he said he got saved 11 years old. He was the sickest guy at work. I might have told this before, I don't know. But he said, Lord, if this is true, why am I sick all the time? He said, you only accepted me as your savior, but
right.
I've healed you and I've delivered you. He said, so he prayed, I accept you as my healer. He went to work and told everybody in the office, he said, you're looking at a man that'll never be sick again.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody laughed because he was so sick all the time. Then 5 years later, this, I think a Baptist minister that worked with him, and he asked him to tell him about that again. And he's telling the story. He says, it's been 35 years. I have not been sick in 35 years. And I was the sickest person you ever met. So it's just believing what Amen. He's already bought for us. Read Amen. The inheritance.
That's right.
Right here.
So when we repent, you see, God is the consuming fire. He wants to burn that stuff out. Sin is combustible. Resentments, guilt, shame. Those are the things that burn. And we don't want to be full of that. We want to be clean and clear of those things. And the more we penetrate or infiltrate those territories and get rid of that guilt, shame, remorse, worry, fear, anxiety, when we get rid of that, we gain territory in the kingdom in our hearts.
And health.
And health in our bodies, right. So the third one is declare God's word out loud each day, each morning. So whatever it is that, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, you're my Lord and Savior, proclaiming him as your Lord, your authority. He's the authority. He gave it to you. And what it is that you're repenting for, find scripture. That's what I did. That's what I was sharing. So yesterday, the day before, I was declaring these scriptures. I mean, I looked them up to make sure, you know, to see exactly which ones they were so that I can share them with you guys. But I was talking about these scriptures during the day. And then I made a phone call, and then I had prayer praying over me, you know, not talking to everybody about it, not glorifying with the enemy or feeling horrible, even if it wasn't the enemy, because I don't think it was a spiritual attack. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, even if it was a cold, I don't need to glorify that, because the more I speak, the more I think upon, the more I talk upon, the more I'll act upon, and the longer I'll stay stuck. What?
No, I just have a testimony on that.
Say that!
I used to get strep throat a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
And I'd always get real sick myself. And then I wouldn't even think about myself in this one. And then when I started learning about deliverance and that spirit of self-pity, how it wants people to pity, and you don't even realize the little things it can do. And I was praying about why. Because what I noticed is I had people that worked for me, and I would get sick, and man, it's like to my bones. I mean, I'd press hard to work, but it's so hard. And then people, they get the same cold, and all of a sudden they weren't as sick as me. And I'd be like, why do I get so sick with stuff? And then he started teaching me, and Amen. I started learning about spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And because self-pity will, you start talking about stuff, it'll get way worse. It'll cause pain in your body with no related reason. And I remember the day, I remember right where I was, pulling up Virginia Avenue on Oleander Boulevard, and I was sick, and the guy working with me was riding by me. I was driving, and I started to just say, man, I feel really sick. And just when I went to say it, the Lord said, why are you telling him that?
Amen.
I said, because I feel terrible. He goes, so why do you have to tell him? And I had to sit there and chew on that. And you know, he already knows the answer. Yeah. I was like, I felt kind of stupid. I said, well, I guess I want him to feel sorry for me, I guess. And I didn't say nothing. And that was a turning point from that day when I quit telling people when I felt bad, no matter how bad I felt. And I got where I didn't get so sick when I did get something.
Amen.
I got where I was stronger at keeping stuff off me or getting it off quick.
Amen. And, you know, that can go to another extreme where you think you don't tell anybody, you could do it yourself, and, you know, and that's what the enemy wants too. So you really have to know who you surround yourself around. You know, the people that have the same, they're on the same path, they have the same heart, and they will lead you to Christ too. They're going to pray a prayer of faith over you.
Yeah, and I had told, when I had cancer, I had told some people, I was like, I shouldn't have told. It was, I usually didn't tell things. I'm like, man, you know, I was telling them about the other things that got healed, but I didn't tell anybody, you know, chest pains that 20 years ago were knocking me the floor, like electrocuting me, taking my breath out. Like, got up to 7 times a day. I was rebuking and praying, but I knew if I told anybody, they're going to pressure me to go to the hospital, and I was going to end up in meds the rest of my life, and God healed me. But
amen.
I got undone on that one because I couldn't seem to get it off me. But when I told that cancer one, I was like, the next time I was stage 4 2 years later, and kept that one to myself. I mean, I did tell a couple of people I knew would pray, but not people that would.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. The ones that you know speaking that will pray and,
you gotta,
and continue to pray without gossiping.
Yeah.
Because that you have to, you know, have your I guess, your team.
Yeah, because the ones would be like, well, I know you're claiming healing, but what's the doctor saying?
Yeah, exactly. You know.
And be like,
so, okay, so let's just say the Bible is a sword, and that Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is living, wait, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise the Lord. So we want to declare God's word, because it's his word that will cut through the division of your mind, your spirit, what your body was trying to tell you, all of it. I did a little karate chop in here. Chopping it all down, okay? And Psalms 119.
Don't worry about me looking at you.
Chopping things up in here. 119, 105 says, hold on. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. So it's what's going to guide us. It's what's going to cut through anything that's trying to divide us to connect us with him. Hallelujah. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke, it is written in Matthew. I think that's 4:4, right? Matthew 4:4. I'm not 100% sure, so let me check. Because when Jesus was being tempted or, you know, challenged in his identity, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. It is written. So we need the written word of God in order to, that's the weapon. That's our sword that fights against principalities.
Yeah, faith is believing God's word, his
amen.
Promise.
And that's the prayer of faith,
out of the Bible.
The prayer of
like if you don't want to, if you don't want to be healed, just say, God, if it's your will, heal me, because you won't get healed. You got to know it's his will.
Yeah.
And you're standing amen. On his promise.
Amen. So Jesus is our model. He's how we are to think, talk, and walk in our man suit, in our body suit that we have here. As long as we're wearing this space suit, because we are the aliens. I love when they say, there's aliens. And no, we are the aliens. On this earth, we need to practice these principles. So we need to be led by the Spirit so that our soul and our body, when we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our spirit then will minister to our soul and our soul to our body. And then we get renewed and transformed. Hallelujah. But it's all through his word. Okay? Like, okay. So then God said, we are the broadcasters. We are the newscasters. You know, it's social media. We are the social media of his good news, the good news. So he was telling me, be a reporter for God. Go out there with your mic and interview people. Make-believe Mike. We live in the spirit. Doesn't have to be a real one. And you could say, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you filled? And we're supposed to be proclaiming the good news. We let the world give us our information. And God already gave us all the information we need. We need to be the ones reporting for God out there. And instead of this, letting people, man, social media, manipulate what God wants to be used for good. If we all stand up and go out there and even do these principles, when you start doing that in your own life, you start sharing it with others, how they can be helped, how they can get through some trying times in their life. So we need to broadcast the news. We need to inform others, interview others, ask questions. It's important to know if your brother or your coworkers or you know, your friends, people that you bump into are, know who Jesus is, right? Broadcast your testimony. Let the world know about how God transformed you, changed your life, what Jesus did for you. And he did it for them too. We have to let them know. So his word is the good news all the time. He never has a bad news story. There's never any bad news with Jesus in his word. So listen to the good news. We listen to it by hearing pastors that are talking about Jesus, the word of God, the kingdom of God. We or other friends and people that we surround ourselves around. We also have to listen to the good news, all right? We need to carve out time in our schedule, like we carve out time to wash our face and brush our teeth and find out what's on the news around us, right? And see what Sally Sue is doing. Because sometimes we do that too, because we have to make some phone calls. We could do the same thing for the Lord, right? So we get to change the atmosphere, all right? And habits are not legal. They're not, it's not like a thing. It's something that we do. It's a part of our routine in a day. It becomes part of who we are if we make it a habit and we start to just live according to that way. So we advance God's kingdom in our lives and in other people's lives by whenever when we're rubbing and smearing our life into another person's life, they get to experience the kingdom of God. If we're living in the kingdom and we are divinely appointed time with that person, for that moment, they're in the kingdom. They should be. If I'm starting to conform to the world or just to make somebody accept me, then I'm not in the kingdom of God because I'm already as accepted as I'll ever be. And my job, my purpose, our purpose, your purpose, anybody listening to this, everybody here, our purpose is to extend the kingdom of God, is to heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, do all these things that God did, greater things. So habit one is invoking the name of Jesus, your king and commander of your territory. Hallelujah. So you need to know, I want to be so close to the king that he tells me the plans for the army rather than me having to find out from someone else. So I want to, the closer we get to him, the more open my heart is, the more reverence and love and obedience I practice, the closer I can get. So habit two or practice two is repentance. Confess sin ensures you are in the right standing in righteousness with God, with your king. You don't want to go against your king, you know, otherwise we'll be zealots, right? It's in the Bible too. They were traitors. We don't want to be a traitor. When we sit at the wrong table, there's only two tables, God's table and Satan's table. What table are you sitting at? I have to, even when I'm in the midst of something, I say, whoa, 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 I just sat at the wrong table. I need to get up, leave the food there. I don't even want it. And go move over. Hallelujah. I mean,
quit eating that accusation, bitterness, and
yeah.
Fear.
And then practice three, or habit three, is declaring God's word and how you march in the battle. Are you worshiping? right? And what is worship? A lifestyle. Not only is it what we sing to the Lord, but it's what we say to the Lord and what we do unto the Lord, how we act and what we think unto the Lord, day and night, sitting, standing, laying, whatever we're doing.
No, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And the weapon, and they are our weapons. That's our weapon. Worship is a weapon, right? We give thanks always in everything we do, in our thoughts, in our actions, and in our words, and demons fear that. Okay, kingdom strategy addresses both defense and offense. So when we do these practices, the first two are the defense. It's the walls that protect us when we declare Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The authority that we have is through Jesus Christ, right? And then we repent. We clean our hearts of any offense or anything that separates me from God, any thoughts or words or anything that I'm doing, actions. And then the offense is declaring God's word, because that's the attack with the sword.
They can't see that.
I know, but they could hear it. That's the sword going back and forth. Okay? So that's what they address. So we're fully equipped, fully prepared. These simple things we can do in a day. They don't take long at all. You know, it's a matter of just waking up saying, "Good morning, Holy Spirit, Father God, Jesus Christ. I love you so much. You are my King. You are my Savior. You are all the authority I need in life." Right? And then forgive me or search my heart, O Lord, and show me the ways that I need to change or look at. And during the day, you might get convicted, right? And no more condemnation, but conviction, which is a freedom. But if I'm feeling condemned, then I'm in the enemy's camp, because that's where the whips come in. That's where you're feeling that kind of pain. That's not God. You're listening to the wrong Father. Okay, invoking Jesus' name and repenting positions you to your defense. It secures your parameters, your life, your like that last scripture I said, the boundaries where the enemy cannot touch you. All right? And declaring God's words takes you on the offense, which is pushing back, chopping off anything that's not of God trying to come at you.
Yeah, there's no armor for your backside when you read Ephesians.
Amen, that's right. Amen. So you give, the more we push back, the more we take territory when we slice with God's word and things fear and run and flee. Then that's territory for God. It's kingdom territory. So we get our kingdom, the kingdom of God, more territory when we let guilt, shame, remorse, bitterness. When we start slicing that with the word of God, then God can dwell there in those places that we were letting the enemy take, kill, steal, and destroy from us. All right? So the purpose is to change the atmosphere. And you have an advance, and you can advance the kingdom of God by doing this. Every one of you listening can advance the kingdom of God just by doing these three simple things throughout the day. I mean, you know, we all have schedules, but I find that if I equip myself in the morning, that during the day, I find myself saying, "Oh my gosh, that's why I read that," or "That's why you told me that in the morning," you know, so that I have what I need when the unexpected starts to come on me. So it's our purpose and way of life in the kingdom. If you are a kingdom citizen, this is our purpose, and this is the way of life that we live. It's not very complicated. It's actually more simple than it was when I was a citizen of the world. It was very complicated. Mm-hmm. Today, I have a lot of freedom. I have a lot of time, more so than I ever did prior to. I was always running around like a chicken without a head, just doing a whole bunch of nothing, but a lot of stuff of nothing, because it didn't have eternal purpose. It was just for now, temporary. So I hope that this helps. I hope that this spoke to someone. I pray that it did. And we always just remember, in all things, give thanks. Okay, so James, you want to say anything and pray We have a couple of minutes left, a minute or so.
I'm watching her. He's like, shook his head no. Then he said a minute. He shook his head yeah.
Okay.
So, Father, we ask, I ask you to bless the listeners, Lord. I ask, Father, you help us to be quick to repent and to keep our eyes on you in every situation, and to not miss those opportunities God puts in front of us. You know, everyone wants to minister in a church. Not everyone, but a lot of people. But it's a daily walk. If you Amen. Just minister the one in front of you, if every the body of Christ start doing that, then we'd have a revival going on, yeah. You know. So just pray we don't miss those opportunities, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And ask you bless everyone's Christmas coming up.
Yes.
And we just rebuke any depression that tries to come around that time, which is crazy. That should be an exciting time God did.
But the enemy steals.
The enemy is good at making that a very depressing time. Mm. So, Father, I ask that you bless everyone's Christmas and bring joy and help us walk in your ways, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And also, Amen. Just remember what James said. It's the person in front of you, to the left of you, to the right of you, the one behind you. Be the newscaster in your life. Be the one, the social media for God, the good news. You're listening to WCNO, Kingdom Recovery. Next week, we have Pastor Tom coming at the King's Table to talk about what the Kingdom of Heaven is like. And if you need contact me. My number is 631-745-7980. Have a great day.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.AI or 772-298-4477.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap? Is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch or keeping. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds